All right, now, property annexation?
Yep, so this is a standard kind of piggyback annexation. We typically take these right to the board, but we put it on the agenda because we've got a couple new board members, and it's been a while since we've done an annexation. So under the park code, section 310 of the park code, when the city annexes a parcel of property, that gives the park district the authority to then annex that property. So there's one small parcel on Lamplighter Lane. Anybody know where Lamplighter Lane is?
I actually do.
You do? Okay, yes. All right. I had to look it up. South 6. Take South 6
yeah.
until it hits the lake, and it's right there. So the city annexed it, and we need to annex it. So we'll ask the board for action on that next week.
Right. So, great. Washington Park gazebo repairs. We've discussed this as well.
Jason, you want to
We're going to make some repairs to the Washington Park gazebo. It's the big stone structure up there by the pavilion. It's in need of some tuck pointing, some stucco work, some stone work. That's a real custom job up there. I wouldn't even know how to bid that product out if you were to build a new one of those. So we have some money left over out of the 2022 bond for the Washington Park Iron Springs. Staff completed that project all in-house. So we'd like to use some of that money for a project inside Washington Park. Reappropriate some of that money to fund the $4,600 tuck pointing stone work up at the Washington Park gazebo.
Great, thank you. It's such a landmark in the park.
Yeah.
We need to take good care of it.
Yeah, custom stone. So we're just trying to...
What year was that built?
I knew you were going to ask that.
Yeah.
I didn't have the answer to that. Yeah,
it was pre-pandemic, right?
Yeah,
it's pre-Leslie. So that's you know, old.
Yeah, right? Good
right.
question.
17? The Spanish flu?
That was my hair when my husband was young.
It was.
Back when, I remember when the train came out, there was a little bit of car. There was a piece of car that came out. Train thing that came out.
Yeah, yeah.
The downtown area.
The little wood, basically. Gazebo that's right at the main entrance to the park is on the National Historic Register because that was there. That was the end of the trolley line.
Yeah, quite a turnaround.
I love that.
It's about a plain structure.
It is.
Very unexciting, but it's kind of neat.
It is. I wonder what year. I wonder what year that was built. Because it predates the park.
And that probably ran for a while after the park.
Thank you. Mowers?
We are also looking out of our 2024 operating budget in the golf department to make a purchase of a fairway mower for one of our four golf courses. We're in need of a new fairway mower. We budgeted for it in the 2024 budget, and those mowers offered to take bid are $62,000. For one mower to mow some fairways on a golf course. That's what those cost. That's a great price. It's off state bid. Sales have gone up considerably.
I was going to say it was $40,000, $45,000.
Yeah, we used to get some of those mowers for $40,000. Mowers that were $50,000 back in the day are now between $70,000 and $75,000. So all that stuff has gone up. So we're looking to purchase a fairway mower for one of
Can you do something about that, please?
Yeah.
I will try.
Just out of curiosity, inventory of knowing that these things are exponentially going up, I think it might be in our best interest to take an inventory of what we've got and what condition they're in.
We have all that.
Because we may need to think ahead. It'd be nice to pick something up for 50 when it's going to turn around, or 60 when it's going to be 100 in 2 years.
Yeah, I think the challenge with that, we've got
money.
Extensive planning there. Yeah, and we submit it to the bond every year, and then or every 2 years when we issue bonds, and there's just not enough money to go around.
Oh, I know. I'm just saying that it's tough. Knowing that these things are, I don't see the price of goods anytime soon.
Yeah.
And that's where I'm just concerned, because these are specialized pieces of equipment, I don't want to be caught holding the bag.
Yeah.
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 Capital area greenhouse lease renewal.
Yeah,
that's been a great partnership.
Yeah,
that's
been a great partnership. We've been working with them for a number of years. For the new board members that don't know, we lease greenhouse space out of the CACC. They do classes in there, and then we grow a lot of our inventory for South Bend Park in that greenhouse. So we lease out one whole section of that greenhouse. We just want to renew the lease. We do it every year. Same terms, but of course, lease went up 3%, extra $20-some. So the payment is quarterly, $743 to lease out the greenhouse over there at the CACC.
Yeah.
We'd like to renew that lease with them for the 2024.
I can't even imagine what it would cost us to buy all those plants for Southland.
Mm-hmm.
Would be,
we just couldn't do it.
Extended.
We just
yeah.
couldn't do it. Yeah.
Thank you. Surplus property, Stephen?
I just wanted to note that on the ordinance that was sent to you, we have two late additions. Actually, the corner sweep, we may have another one or two, but we've added an old tractor, which we found out cost too much money. And then the forklift, which, as you recall, we just bought a new lift and threw surplus in the old one.
Saw the new garbage truck driving by.
Yeah. Isn't
Look.
That cool? Want to go for a ride in it? It's pretty cool.
Can I? Seriously?
Just climb up there.
Okay. Let me know. I have never ridden a garbage truck.
Really?
Yeah.
We can make your dreams come true.
I don't know that it was, like, on my dream list, but now that you mention it, I want to do it.
Off the Zamboni and onto the garbage truck.
I haven't done the Zamboni yet.
We can make all of your dreams come true.
Dang, guys. You're falling down on the job. That's all I'm saying. I got to go see the Arctic foxes, but no Zamboni. Oh, they're so cute. Oh, my. Come prepared for, like, cute overload. National Parks Month proclamation.
Yes, ma'am. So, since 1985, the United States has celebrated July as the National Official Parks and Recreation Month. Actually, before 85, I believe it was in June. But it was created by the National Rec and Park Association, and it highlights the essential and powerful role that local parks and recreation agencies and professionals play in building stronger, more vibrant, and resistant communities across the country. And this year's theme, there's a theme every year, is where community grows.
Oh,
so
I like that.
It's just the recreation side of the house, it is the park maintenance side of the house, it's the finance and administration part of the house. We don't get it done individually or in silos, we get it done together. So to recognize all those people, collective efforts.
Nice. All right. All for that.
So we have a formal proclamation that...
A formal for you to consider on
next. Yep.
Okay. Thank you. Unplug Illinois proclamation.
So Unplug Illinois is a campaign that was created by IPRA that encourages people to unplug from electronic devices, plug into play, creativity, friendship, adventure, and family. This is also an annual proclamation. It was initiated in June of 2014. So this year, we added some additional items for Unplug Illinois. So there are a number of free entries into our facilities on July the 15th. For example, the zoo is free from 3 to 5. Nelson Center is free 4:30 to 5:30. Nelson Center Pool is free 5 to 6 p.m. and Vet School is 5 to 7 p.m. And then we added Pitch Hit and Run this year at Robert Margaret Stadium starting at 10 a.m.
Wonderful.
Got some free tanks for the community.
And you can really unplug when your power goes out.
Sorry. So we're looking at the formal proclamation again from the board next week.
Thank you, Angie.
You bet.
Derek, you want to talk about the Alfled grant proposal?
Sure. This item may not go as quick as the others, but it's an important project. So IDNR, although we haven't had a formal announcement from them, the next round of OSLOS is open. The grant applications are due at the end of next month, August 31st. So in typical IDNR fashion, there is a super quick turnaround time on this. So we wanted to get this in front of the board today to discuss it. This grant's funded through the real estate transfer tax, so there is a tremendous amount of money, I think $56 million, they're pushing out this year again, which is good news. Typically, these grants require 50% local match, but they changed this post-COVID, and they waived the local match requirement for distressed communities. They are going to do that again this year. We have been considered a distressed community since COVID hit. They have not posted their new list of distressed communities. We just talked to them yesterday about it, and the answer is, it's coming soon, but we anticipate we're going to be on that list. So the maximum grant amount for these projects previously was $400,000. They also raised it to $600,000. And we have a rich history of OSLOS grant programs at Isles and Kiwanis and, of course, Geo Park now. If we're not considered a distressed community, it will require a 50% local match. That match would have to come from from the 24 bond issue. As a reminder, we've talked about this many times with this board. We have over $1 million of commitments already on that bond, including Geto Park OSLOS for $250,000, Kiwanis Park OSLOS for $200,000, the anonymous playground donor that we agreed to match funds is $80,000, the auto lease $300,000, Lehmer Langer $200,000.
What was the lease?
For automobiles that we lease every year.
Trucks.
Yeah, trucks, and mainly trucks. Yeah. And then the Conservatory Dome, again, we had a $370,000 tourism grant. We were matching funds of around $400,000 from a local donation that we received. We're getting some preliminary numbers in that it could be in excess of $1.3 million to do that project. So that's something we're continuing to get to the bottom of, but there may be some...
we might have to scale back the project.
We may have to do something there. The point of me saying this is, if we're not a distressed community and it requires a local match, I would encourage the agency and the board to maybe lay off a grant cycle now, let us catch our breath, and move forward. But that said, we'll continue to look into that. If there's no local match and it's $600,000 of state funds with no financial obligation on our part, then I think, by all means, let's proceed. Included in the board packet were some options. We have reviewed several potential grant-eligible projects. We've narrowed the list to about a dozen projects, which was not an easy task. Out of these projects, we are recommending one specific project. The others are not prioritized. They're just a list of projects. And that project that we're recommending to the board is a large-scale renovation of the Lincoln Park Playgrounds.
For the record, can we read the others into the...
Sure. Yep. The other potential projects that could be considered would be a large-scale redevelopment of the Washington Park Playground, Indian Hills Park redevelopment, which would include playground, walking paths, parking lot, things like this. Same at Lindbergh Park redevelopment, Fairview Park redevelopment, Westchester Park redevelopment, Redenburg Park redevelopment. There's actually several more that could be on the list, but that was the short list. They're all neighborhood parks that we know need some attention. Additionally on the list, we have Robin Roberts Stadium improvements, whether that's LED lights or artificial turf. We've talked about that recently. Centennial Park, converting a tennis court to pickleball courts. We've talked about that recently. And Washington Park tennis court renovation. We recently renovated 3 of the 12 courts. We need the other 9 courts need to be renovated, so that could be a project that the board could consider as well. Specifically for Lincoln Park, we recommend that project because Lincoln Park is more than just a neighborhood park. Not that there's anything wrong with being just a neighborhood park, but it's really a community park, meaning that it draws guests from throughout the entire community, and based on the nature of the events that happen there, it actually draws guests from throughout the state and even wider than the state as well. So it's also home to our most active and well-attended facility, that is the Nelson Center. You have our largest summer camp at the Nelson Center, along with a special needs camp. We host over 20 annual special events in that park. We have 7 rentable picnic areas, more than any other park throughout the entire system. Lori and I were looking at the numbers earlier, and we had between 250 and 300 picnic rentals in a 12-month cycle. It's huge. It's a very active area. There's over 50 rentals at the Lincoln Park Pavilion, people saying their vows and tying the knot, and others. We have a deck hockey rink there, our outdoor pool, one of our outdoor pools is there. We had over 50 rentals at the Lincoln Park Pavilion in a 12-month cycle. We have Fun Shop there. We have 20 horseshoe pits. We continue to host the annual state horseshoe pitching tournament in that area. 4 ball diamonds, 2 18-hole disc golf courses, cross-country meet. The list goes on and on and on.
AARP
fit lot. So needless to say, this is one of our most heavily trafficked, most active parks and areas of the park throughout our entire park.
But I want to also say, because a lot could be said also about Washington in that same vein.
Yes.
But I will say, it is a North End park. And as far as consideration for actually getting awarded the money, I think it is going to be viewed because it's you know, the Lincoln Park immediate area is not necessarily a distressed part of our community, but it's going to be, I think, seen more favorably by DNR, especially if we qualify as a distressed community, than, say, Washington Park, which I think is maybe, in my opinion, probably a less attractive to DNR. Then I think our chances are much better, frankly, at Lincoln Park. And so we might as well, if we're going for it, let's put our best foot forward so that we can get the money into the system, into the park system, and improve something.
In that kind of same vein, is there concern if we go with the Robin Roberts project that it's used by a for-profit entity that it might not be viewed in the same light?
Possibly. A couple other notes for the record, and then I welcome discussion on it. In the master plan that maybe not everybody on the board was here then, but that the board approved, there were 4 priorities set out by the board. Lincoln Park Pavilion Lincoln Park Playground renovation was number 3 on the priority list. The number 1 was a dog park at Centennial. Check. That project is done. Number 2 is replace Veterans School with a splash pad. Check. That project is done. 3 is Lincoln Park Playground. And number 4, skate park at Isles. Check. That project is done too. So I think it also, we get awarded points in the grant application for projects that are part of the master plan and have community planning behind it. So I think that's important. Then the other thing, kind of to your point, is that, you know, we believe that this project will have the greatest impact and touch the most amount of lives in our community. There are several other projects that are worthy, but that also helps make a competitive application as well. Far more kids, there are kids on that playground year-round. And far more people will be impacted by this large-scale project than, you know, some of the other
projects. Well, to that point, I know there are 2 board members with kids younger than mine, and mine have been on this playground before, and I have to tell you that it was one of their least favorite.
It's underwhelming for the area, quite honestly. It's dated, and you know, that area needs a large playground.
And I would hope that we would look at it from the standpoint of that, especially with Fun Stop over there, you've got everything from toddlers through preteens playing on that. And I think that what you have over there is very, very narrowly tailored to middle school. I don't think you have a broad range of ages for that particular one. And I think that, like you said, if we're looking at it as a comprehensive community playground, you have something for toddlers, you have something for a little older, and you have a majority of it for the middle ground. I fully agree. It is probably going to have the most foot traffic of anything that we could possibly put up for a project, I think it's almost fair to say it's kind of between Washington and Lincoln as to which one's the face of the park district. And I think that we could use a facelift.
Yep.
Yeah. And we know we need it at Washington, too. I mean, the playground there is wonderful, but it needs some TLC. There's some pieces that should probably be traded out. But, you know, it's not as sort of in your – the need isn't as pressing, I think, as it is at Lincoln.
Well, to your point, we've gone for a grant to the Botanical Garden Dome, which is Washington Park. We haven't done anything in Lincoln Park that I can remember in the 4 years that I've been here.
Well, we've put a huge amount of money into the Nelson Center.
The Nelson Center and the parking lot. To me, the Nelson Center is not Lincoln Park. The Nelson Center is its own beast.
I appreciate that.
Just for clarification and for the record, I think that everything you guys have said I agree with. And I would push very, very hard to say that it would be difficult for me to find a project that would affect more of our constituents and affect our image more than Lincoln Park.
I agree.
But to the other side of things, if somebody were to come in here tomorrow and drop $1 million on us for Robin Roberts, if we do the turf, if we do the LED lighting, it wouldn't be just for that for-profit. And this is a big point which I think they need to understand. We would be going for year-round programming. We'd be going for our own
No question.
We'd be going for all kinds of things to make that a multi-use stadium beneficial to the park district, and they're a lessee. They get it for the few months a year that they're renting from us, and then it would be used for our own programming, our own things, our own needs. Yes, it would benefit them, but we'd be looking at soccer, football, teen-outs, all kinds of things. That said, I still think it's got a much smaller footprint. I don't think enough. When you compare it to other things on that list, and we start talking about how many feet are walking through there, how many constituents are using it, it's not matching up to the first four or five items that would make my list.
Yeah. If we did get serious about an outdoor grant, we need to do more research, because I think it's questionable whether it would even qualify, you know, like a lighting project or just a turf project. So
I would even cover the turf. Turf would just record money.
Yeah, let alone from a financial standpoint, I just don't know if it meets the criteria to be an eligible project.
Right, it's not a facility that people can just walk up and knock on the door, hey, can I come play baseball?
We have so many needs, and I think it's incumbent on us to put our best foot forward with this and our strongest case, because that brings state money into the district, and, you know, we know we need these other things, and we can, you know, that we can check that off the list and keep going.
Well, and the huge thing is that master plan.
That's
a huge feather in our cap when it's won.
It's
getting to be that time.
It is. So in summary, it sounds like we can't take action tonight, but it sounds like in summary the board's comfortable with staff pursuing an Oswald grant for Lincoln Park Playground, assuming that we're categorized as a distressed community.
Right.
Okay. Good. Very good.
Thank you, Derek. And now for your update.
Sure. I'll go first on this one. A couple updates. And I had this discussion with all of our managers and supervisors last week, but I want to have it in public session, too. A couple weeks ago, the week of June 26th, which everybody will probably remember for quite some time, was a very challenging week for the park district. We began the week shuffling outdoor programs and events because of the encroaching wildfire smoke from the Canadian wildfires. And we ended the week with a disastrous storm that left many of our parks and our facilities devastated. And without power. That said, as an agency, we're pretty lucky. We had no personal injuries to staff or patrons, and although we experienced some significant tree damage, and Jason has a report in his section of some of the specifics there, we didn't have any really serious damage, so we got really lucky. But I just wanted to extend a very warm thank you to all staff throughout the organization for their efforts to kind of pull together and manage a very difficult situation, particularly at a time when many of them were dealing with issues at their own home and their own properties as well. So I just want to publicly thank staff for all their efforts, too.
I'm really glad you did that. You know, I sent a note around to staff thanking everybody because it was a huge effort. And all you had to do was drive by Isles or drive by Washington or Lincoln, I mean, and see, you know, all the, kind of broke my heart. I mean, some of these super old trees, but they just fell on things. And some of the things we had just built and staff has done, got together, you know, figured it out, made it happen, and I'm truly appreciative.
Would it be out of line to request at the board that an email be sent from you for the board to all district staff?
Sure.
Telling them thank you for what they've done, and that
on behalf of the board,
the board that we recognize their effort.
I appreciate it, but the public truly does.
Oh yeah.
And that's, I think, important.
I just think telling them that the board recognizes that the effort they put in, the results they achieved.
Yeah, I agree.
Yep, we'll do. We'll take care of that. A couple other, and by the way, we're also pursuing insurance claims. We're pursuing FEMA money. We're pursuing state money. Anything to kind of recoup some of our losses. But again, our losses aren't—they're not other than trees, obviously.
Yeah.
In terms of facility damage, it's fortunately we're very minimal. The gazebo we talked about already. You see the huge tree that landed right next to the gazebo. We got lucky in many areas.
Yeah, the summer house. Nancy, I don't know if you've been down there to look at it. If that tree had gone the other way, we wouldn't be dealing with it anymore.
Yeah.
It went that way, it could have gone that way.
Okay, two other updates. Moving on. I just want to point out to the board that there is an extremely well-written article in this month from a very talented young and handsome rec professional that you may want to spend some time reading about Gito Park and the improvements that we're doing there. So, and finally, of course, very young, youthful, virile. So finally, I did want to discuss one other thing with the park board. Recently, there's been a lot of discussion on parking near Robin Roberts Stadium. It's been communicated that the park district has done nothing to help the situation out there. This is simply not true. As we have previously discussed, we have actually done many things to help the situation, including there are multiple government entities continue to work together cooperatively to increase the parking opportunities in the area. Michigan Avenue on the east, all of Michigan Avenue will be repaved, and they're going to install 90-degree parking on the east side adjacent to the tracks.
Which in the meantime, your guy, Marty, and you guys went out and striped it for them.
They're freshening them up for tonight's games as well to encourage people to maximize the space until it gets paved. That's going to add 56 new spots. That will be done by contract before next season. And we've hand painted the lot, as Chris referenced. The gravel lot by the basketball courts that is our property, they're going to repave it on our behalf. That's 20 spots. That's not new spots, but it will go from gravel to pavement, which will help. There will be 37 new spaces that will be added along Robin Roberts Road as part of the overpass project. That will be done by the end of 2025, so there'll be another season. But it's in the hopper. The school district will open their lot prior to next season because that's been a big crunch this year. The school district, as part of the renovation project, when they're done, they're going to demo the Edison Wing, which is the north side of Lamphere, and they're going to turn that into a large on-campus parking spot, which is going to open up a lot of additional spaces as well. We've also encouraged our tenant to develop partnerships with Caritas Bingo Hall. District 186 owns a parking lot north of Converse and west of 11th Street that's available for parking. IEPA, the railroad, Pillsbury, SMTD, we've encouraged them to consider shuttle service as well to help with some of the parking concerns that they've voiced. But beyond all of these efforts, there's also been a request to immediately start parking on the tennis courts at Lancaster Park. It's been suggested to the media that SPD wants to preserve that space to play tennis on. That is not true. We don't see a demand for tennis in that area. We've said that from the beginning. We have no problem converting that to a parking lot. It's also been suggested to the media that we should just let the public park on the tennis courts as is, take the fence down and let them park. This simply is not feasible. Since the beginning, we have been very open and communicative and forthcoming about the physical barriers that prohibit immediate parking access in that area. So most recently, we engaged a local engineer to complete a comprehensive analysis of the area and develop a plan if we wanted to convert that to parking, what would be included in that. I'll hand out this plan to the board now, but I can tell you the plan includes just the basic compliance with local, state, and federal laws that we would be mandated to do to convert from tennis into a parking lot. Three, if you can hand those down. So looking through this real quick, on the first page, if we were to convert it, we could add 107 total spaces, which is significant. That would be a huge impact. In fact, we think that it is large enough that there will be more people that enter the stadium in that area than from the main entrance, which we'll talk about in a little bit. They took core samples of the pavement to determine if the pavement is thick enough to allow parking or would they have to mill and overlay it. Fortunately, the pavement is thick enough for cars, but not for buses.
They have another waiver section.
Yes, yep. On page two, this talks about the cracks that are out there. Clearly, they would need to crack fill and seal the cracks and then seal the entire parking lot black and then stripe it for parking. There will be a new curb cut that's required on Converse because, again, Converse is curb and gutter all the way adjacent to our property. That's one of the reasons why we can't allow cars to just drive over it now. So there will be a curb cut along that. They've already talked to the city about where and how that would work. There may be some sanitary inlet issues we would need to work on there. Page three, once you develop the parking lot, then you have to provide an accessible route from the parking spot into the stadium, because we would have to develop a new entrance into the stadium, which would be down the third baseline behind the batting cages. So they put a plan in of how that would work. We'd have to relocate some utility poles. The batting cages may need to be moved over a little bit, and we have to construct a sideway to be in compliance with the cross slope and the pitches, in compliance with the ADA laws. Once you get people into the stadium, just as a reminder, we're coming in kind of the back way to the stadium. It is going to be less than a grand entrance. The only thing that's in the plan is a chain link fence. So if the board wanted to do something more grand or anything that's even remotely aesthetically pleasing, that's not included in the plan. This is just the basic. And again, I think more people will come through this entrance than the front entrance. They looked at drainage, lights. We were required to put lights out there. We have some lights. We think we can repurpose the poles, maybe get some new fixtures. We've got to do a photometric review for the city. That's a requirement. The city also has landscaping requirements that would be our obligation along the front edge on Converse and actually in the parking field. There has to be a landscaping plan in there. The city also requires some screening between us and the school district. It's a city code, kind of silly. They're deemed residential, and it's a city code. Maybe we could work on that with the city. But right now, it's a requirement. The plan is that we would leave all of the existing chain link fence because the tennis courts are encompassed with a chain link fence, except the north side. We would take that down to allow vehicles to come in. If we wanted to replace that fence with something nice and decorative, that's the alternate that's included here. Again, the school district is doing a great job. They have developed some beautiful facilities. And if we develop a new parking lot, we may want to do something nice to complement that rather than to detract from it, something nice for the neighbors as well. So that'd be an additional cost for like an ornamental fencing in there. Overall, bottom of page five shows you that the preliminary cost estimate to do all of this is $200,000. Now, I will tell you that the park district, or at least staff, we don't recommend proceeding with this project at this point, not because it is not a worthy project, not because we don't support it, because we don't have the funds to do that right now. I will mention that last fiscal year, the partnership has invested over $300,000 in stadium operations, including $75,000 just in capital improvements. That's more than we planned to do it, but we wanted to address some of the items that were important to our tenant. So including installation of two new commercial water heaters. We did a significant improvement program to the playing surface that has not been done in many years, and it is great. It is wonderful. We've got so many compliments on it. We've also purchased a new field tarp. We've updated the lighting on the concourse per request. We removed some trees to make way for the beer garden area. We ran electric to the first base hut upon request. And we're also in the process of purchasing a new backstop netting that will be a thinner material, so it will be what's suggested easier to look through, and it'll extend to the dugout, so it'll protect a little bit more of what was already a safe area, but it'll protect more of the bleacher areas. And then we also are sharing in the cost to upgrade the sound system, which we were made aware of during our last committee meeting last month. So again, we don't recommend, we don't have the funding to do this right now. So instead, our plan is to continue to seek outside funding to complete this project. We've been in discussion with District 186 already about a potential partnership, and initially they appear to be warm to it because it will benefit the football games and the school as well. And so our plan is, after we discuss this with the board tonight, we'd like, with the board's approval, to share this with our tenant. As you all know, they have recently developed a foundation raising funds, and this project was identified as their number one priority, so it's our hope that they would support this project, maybe financially as well. And with the board's approval, we'll certainly speak with the shoes about that. So I'm happy to answer any questions the board may have.
One thought that I just had that I think would be beneficial to both our tenant and to us in general, instead of opening an entrance, what if we created a walkway to get to the front?
So to get from the parking spot to the front, you would have to go all the way east to Michigan Avenue?
No. What if we, instead of trying to man this gate or staff this gate, what if we did a, and I would say probably, compliance would probably be somewhere between a 5 and 6 foot wide walkway?
So there's not enough room between us and the school district to get them through there?
Right. We have to cut out part of the, what we currently are offering for space inside the fence. We have to basically move our fence in to create a walkway that would take it to the front.
Yeah, if you go to Exhibit A, page that looks like this, it kind of gives you an aerial. So the area I think you're talking about, Chris, is on the bottom left side of the park, which is the southwest side of the parking lot. So what we're proposing now, just to comply with ADA, is to bring them in behind the locker rooms and stop right there. If we were to do that, we'd have to take that part of that all the way to the front. My thought is that, as important as this is to our tenant, I would imagine that they would station a new admission gate there, and that would be their
right.
Responsibility.
Yep.
This would be the least expensive way to do it, but again, it'll create a new entrance, and you know, once the school district is done and the Edison area is parking, I really envision there being more people access right there than there are from anywhere.
Well, and that's my only thing that I was wondering, is that with Memorial Stadium and everything else, I just was wondering, this area that we've got with the black and white spots is kind of what I was thinking. I don't know where the entrance is.
Yeah, we'll certainly look at that, and I'll discuss that with the school district.
I was going to say we're going to talk about that.
Yeah, there's some area that the school district has a second admissions gate that they have already constructed on the north side.
Oh, there you did.
Yeah, so okay. They would route people. If you were to park there and go to the football field, you just walk out to the sidewalk on Converse. You
yeah.
walk down Converse and just enter right
so
there.
So it's not that big of a deal. It's, I was thinking more along the lines of to entice the partnership.
Yeah.
But if they were having, but if they put a second gate over there, then yeah, I agree with what you're saying.
Again, I don't want to get ahead of school district staff or their board. I can't speak for them, but I can just tell you they're very warm to the idea initially, and staff will continue to work with them and see what we can do.
Great.
But I want to share that with the board. If the board's comfortable, I'll now share this with our tenant, and maybe they have some funding that can help support this as well.
Great. Good job. Thank you. Jason, you're up.
A couple quick updates. In regards to storm damage, that's a big topic. Just want to say thanks to everybody. Staff here was great. Everybody worked together. It was awesome. We were spread out everywhere. We're trying to hit high priorities first. Big thanks to all the maintenance guys and girls that were out there working with everybody. So can't be more thankful with how we handled it. Great teamwork on everybody. I provided a high-level report in the board report of just the structural stuff. I don't need to go through it item by item because you already got it, but it's some simple stuff. We got lucky. We had some dugouts get blown away. We had some fences get destroyed. The pickleball courts that we just spent $30,000 on getting redone, they got messed up, but we'll get all that fixed. But, trees is one thing. But we're very lucky. No buildings got leveled, no windows out, no gas leaks, no major roof holes. We're really thankful for all that. Big hits with Washington, Lincoln, Isles, Bunn, Golf Course, Lincoln Greens, the zoo stuff to get hit. So we got lucky. For as much property as we have, it was kind of contained. So I'm very thankful for where we're at with that. Staff working on getting all that repaired. And we're going to count on that. We'll send some insurance stuff in. And not a whole lot of overtime because when this storm hit on Thursday, we spent all day Friday and got every road and every park accessible in the whole system. So it's a huge thanks to all of our guys for working like that. Saturday got some stuff done. So we're doing really well there, but it is going to take a lot of time. Please be patient with this. I know you're going to start getting calls. You'll start getting emails. Please forward them to me if you like. We're there. We'll take care of that. Patience is a virtue that you can have to have now for a while. It's going to take a little time to get it all cleaned up. The major safety stuff is done. Roads are open, everything like that. It's just, there's a limb down behind my house in the park. Can you come get it? We'll get it. We're on our way. Let's think of it. Zoo Museum grant, we got lucky there. Lemur Langer, the tree had hit. It had fallen the lift, though, and did not hit our building. And we got lucky there. Another positive with all that. We're back on track with that project. We were down for about a week and a half because of the storm. Contractors left. So we're getting back on schedule with that. We're going to start some excavation at Kiwanis for our Osborne grant.
Woo-hoo.
Start to get in some of that paving and some of those parking lot upgrades. Edith Segerman, hopefully you guys got to drive by there, even though we can't put ribbon cutting. That project's all ready to go. We're going to want to have another ribbon cutting. We're ready to go on that. Project looks great.
Let's wait until we know everybody's got power back before we start to upgrade that thing.
And that's about it. I want to send a big thanks to office staff here. We were out of power, what was it, 2 days? Three days? We were out of power here. And, Lori and Amanda and Angie, and they're all picking up sticks on the golf course. So it was awesome. Got him a golf cart.
Is that other duties as designed?
It made me admire maintenance more. I'm
So really, it was a really great team effort. Keith Murphy, we're in constant contact with him, his guys. So can't thank everybody enough for the storm cleanup and the progress we made. And it's going to take some time, but we're working on it. So I want to thank everybody for that.
Good. Thank you, Jason. And again, our thanks to everybody for just what I thought was a Herculean effort. So, and keeping your cool under pressure.
Yeah.
Very important, as you know. Thank you. Speaking of keeping cool under pressure, Chief?
So,
So I would certainly invite any questions that you all might have regarding our monthly report from June. I would be able to answer any questions. Above and beyond that, a couple other things, both present and future, I want to share with you. In addition to what's reported to you on the monthly report with calls to the police, which is physical, I need the police, whether it's from the public or from members of park staff, that's a true accurate representation of the number of phone calls for service that we get. And then, of course, the second number is the number of times that we assist another agency at their request, at their formal request. Beyond those numbers, we are currently up to 4,586 total police incidents for service since January 1. Our last year's number was 4,700 and small change. Our trend for many, many years was about 3,200 calls for service annually. It went up beyond 4,000 during COVID. It's never come back down. It's going way up. We're almost at 4,600 now. It's July the, 12th. I think we may end the year at 8,000, which is just ridiculous. And we're not padding it. It's just, it just is what it is. The parks are full, and we're getting a lot more calls for service. They run the full nature. My keys are locked out of my car. My child was lost. I get the post behind me. They run every kind of nature. Each one is weighted the same, so whether we're dealing with a class X felony, which we've got one of those pending, or the most minuscule need for police service, those numbers are all weighted equally. During the recent power outage, we had no accidents and no theft reported to us, which was remarkable. Along those lines, I'm mostly going to say what we didn't have to do. The big pickleball tournament went off recently, the one that Shield sponsors. We had had, the first summer that occurred, some issues with some vandalizing and some thefts and some things I really wish we didn't have to deal with. This year it went off without a hitch. We had no incidents of vandalism reported, no thefts of the patrons that were attending, which I thought was pretty cool. We're about 8/10 of the way, or maybe more, done with the baseball season. We'll be wrapping up regular season play August-ish. Currently, we're at no arrests or citations at the ball games all summer long. Not because we're looking the other way, but because people are being very well behaved. They've kept a strong presence out there all summer long with a minimum of 2 officers per game. Another future thing coming up, we've got the Big State Fair Parade planned. And all hands on deck for the police department on August the 10th. This is going to sound almost laughably simplistic, but for us it's a big deal. We rely very much on our mobile data computers in the cars. That's our lifeline. That's how we get dispatched. That is a internal public safety system, and believe it or not, up until about 4 days ago, we did not have internet on that. Because of a lot of help and a bit of whining, we now have internet on that, which will allow us to move to the next level with a couple other things that I think you guys need to be aware of. It'll allow us to transition to a thing called field-based reporting, where our crime stats automatically get submitted through the national field-based reporting system, which means that a person no longer has to sit around and manually enter those into a computer and relate it to, I am that person. So that's very wonderful to me. It gives us access to the city's new flock system, the plate readers that allow us to enter in a license plate number or say in the instance of a missing child, missing person, or somebody with a felony crime. The automatic plate reader works throughout the community. It's had wonderful success in locating wanted people and missing people. We'll be tied into that now. And another exciting thing that it does for us, and again, it sounds very simple, but it gives us online lifetime access to state police photographs and information on sex offenders. As you may be aware, when the park is occupied by a child under 18, a registered child sex offender cannot be present in the park, and a registered sexual predator cannot be present in the park or within 500 feet of the park at any time. So it gives us a great enforcement tool for that, and we no longer have to do our 30-day child sex offender book that, again, the person that put those together is going to be really happy about not having to put them together. So it sounds simple, but it's a big deal for us to move forward with that. And save the best for last. And it's not a park district thing, but it's one of the biggest safety improvements we're ever going to see. We talked about it a lot in previous meetings. They're finally putting the darn traffic safety island at the park in Williams. that's going on right now. It's actually been constructed. The cement is not fully dry.
That's wonderful.
Are in the neighborhood there. It's a mess because MacArthur is completely closed down, both north down and south down. Given us some other fits with some traffic issues in the parks that Jason and I have had to work through and come up with some temporary signs and whatnot.
I was going to ask about increased traffic in through Washington. I took that way home the other day. I had somebody get right on my butt wanting me to go faster than our posted limit, and I just pulled over and let them go around me.
It's up exponentially, and to address that, I don't want to overstay my welcome here at my time, but to address that this week, we've done some crazy things that are all effective, such as parking unoccupied old 2014 SUVs that are on the trade list at some strategic locations at just enough of an angle that you can't really tell if somebody's sitting in them or not. That is a very effective way to keep the speed down and to keep it from going the wrong way. We put some new signs up. We put some new actual road barricades with Do Not Enter for some of those key, mainly the northbound traffic on Dunbar Hill. And I was assigned an officer every evening from 3 to 6:30 p.m. to concentrate just on that. And collectively, it's making quite a difference. But the amount of traffic to the park because of the project is exponentially greater. For a while, it was just the northbound closure. Now it's northbound and southbound. I don't think it's going to be done this week. I'd be surprised if it's done by the end of Monday or Tuesday. And that's just phase one of the project. But I'm elated that that's finally happening.
Yeah.
Plus, it channelizes traffic at that crosswalk to get the traffic down closer to 30 mile an hour speed. So that's some of the best news I've got to report to you in a long time. I'm really happy to see that going down.
Thank you, Chief.
Thank you for everything. And if people didn't know, a former park district officer passed away a few days ago.
Who?
Nick Renfro.
Really?
So I just wanted to share that with the board if they didn't know.
His arrangements are not yet announced. For those of you that remember or don't remember him, he worked here starting about 2010, so about 2014, 2015, was highly regarded. Before becoming a police officer, he was a full-time professional mixed martial artist for many years. He continued to train on that. Left us and went to Springfield City Police Department. Had recently left there and was teaching independently, pursuing his private thing with the companies he developed. He was held in high regard in our department. He was 36 years old, and he'll be missed.
Okay. Thank you. Thanks for letting us know. Steven?
Two quick items. I wanted to talk to, we're having the auditors, our external auditors will be here next week. So they'll be here all week if you want to come visit them. Exciting people that are coming. And then I wanted to speak to those interesting staff that would get Bun Park cleaned up. So the course was ready to open, but since we had no power, and it was interesting because the power came on in this building on Sunday, and I came in and got the server up, so we were able to remote start using that right then. But then on the fourth of July, Lance threw out a help call, wanting to open the course because it was cleared and ready to play, mostly cleared. And since we had no power, we couldn't use carts. And so then we communicated with Danny Cooper from Battery Specialists, and since he was coming to flip the carts anyway for our new fleet, he just came to get them a day early, and he brought some gas carts.
Oh.
So the course opened on the 5th, and we were able to, and we still didn't get power back until Sunday. So we ran the 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, and 9th.
With gas carts.
With gas carts, we were both.
That's really nice.
So
like that.
We operated. We didn't make a lot of money, but we did make some money. And more importantly, our users were actually able to use the course.
Right. That's great. I'm glad you told us that. That's nice to know.
So it was actually really good. It was great to have someone in the community who is kind of part of the team, even though obviously he runs a for-profit company. He was successful on holiday and made it happen. He just I'll have those carts there in the morning and then we went.
I love that.
Great,
would you
great partner.
Tell them We appreciate it.
Yep.
Thank you. Andy, last but not least.
Just an additional item for the board outside of the reports you have already. Comer Cox, we're a little over halfway through. We have three remaining Tuesdays. And conservatively, I would say that we're averaging about 125 to 150 folks every Tuesday night. So
wow.
we have a different little, not really a theme, but some different activities going on aside from what our partners provide. So last night was athletics, but we had baseball out there, and we have hockey out there as well. So the kids could do that. And we've added some sidewalk park talk this year as well, which is done in-house. Woody does that. So we back out next week or the following week. She's already had one night out. She's got a really good line in her station. It's been very well received, and Leslie from HR has been out there with us as well. So it's been a really good program. Continues to be a good program.
I love it. Thank you, Angie. Appreciate that. Anything else for the good of the cause? May I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
And a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you all.